All right. Good to see y'all back. Well, there was a lot of things you were doing up here that were a little different. Hey, it's all right. Practice. You're learning. Exodus chapter 12, where we are this afternoon. Great stuff. 1,500 years before Jesus Christ is the account of the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to take it by piece here. But this is the final plague before Israel leaves Egypt. It's the death of the firstborn. And like I said, in the same way that Jesus Christ's ministry was accompanied with miracles and just miraculous things going on, so too was the giving of the first covenant and the redemption of Israel from Egypt. And so this is the last plague, the death of the firstborn. The Israelites are given a command to take the life of a lamb and sprinkle the blood on the doorposts so death would pass over them. And as death works its way through Egypt, and so many of the firstborn are dying, the Bible would say that there was a cry in Egypt like there had never been before. And Pharaoh finally, he can't handle it anymore. And he orders the Israelites to get out of the country. And so that's why it's, you'll see what's said. It's they're told to do this in haste. Make the preparations quickly. Because when this plague sweeps through the nation, the Pharaoh is going to get them out. He wants them out. So Exodus chapter 12, read a couple verses. And the real value of this whole thing is the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. 1,500 years before Jesus Christ is born. And remember, I mean, he is the centerpiece of all of the scriptures, and he's foreshadowed in the Old Testament. He's prophesied about. He is alive in the Old Testament. He's spoken of as the king, the heavenly king of the nation of Israel, even the bridegroom of the nation of Israel, and all those things. And now this foreshadowing takes place, and it's really, really neat, really neat. But let me read a couple verses and we'll pray, and then we're going to make some comparisons between what's going on here and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Exodus 12, verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So this is your new year now. This is the new year. Whatever calendar you're following before, doesn't matter. This is your new year. This what's happening now. And so this starts time for the nation of Israel. But let's pray, and we'll talk about these things. Father, I pray that you'd help us through this. Guide us. Help us see Jesus Christ in what we're reading. Truly, it is about Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you would make the applications where they need to be made, and that you would feed us with what you have for us this afternoon from your words. And thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, first two verses, which we read. This month, he said, shall be unto you the beginning of months, the first month of the year to you. So the calendar year for Israel begins with liberation and ransom from death. That's how the calendar year begins for the nation of Israel. It begins with liberation and ransom for death. The Israelites' year begins this way. It's the new beginning. It is freedom from bondage and from death. And going forward for the Jews, their year will start with a Passover celebration. And it kind of brings to mind many of the things that Jesus Christ said about a new creature, new things, old things are passed away, all these new things that are associated with redemption, with freedom, a rescue from and deliverance from sin and bondage and things that they were trapped in Egypt. And so going forward, the Jews, their year will start with the Passover celebration. And no doubt, these instructions and all of this, when the Lord gives these instructions to Moses, no doubt the thing that he has in mind is Jesus Christ, because this whole thing is going to point to Jesus Christ, every bit of it. And Jesus Christ, he is the Lamb of God. He's going to be killed on the Passover. Remember, that's the timing of his death will be this time. It would be the new year for Israel. It would be the timing of the new year, around the new year for Israel. And that's how a new year would start, with the Passover celebration. And so Jesus Christ's death in the future, 1,500 years from this time, in a real way, is a new beginning for the nation. It would be. It's an opportunity, at least, for sinners to have their sins forgiven. And so, I get the title here. I'm just going to call this Christ Our Passover, because this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians about Jesus Christ. He says, Christ Our Passover. So it's very clearly tied to Jesus Christ, everything that's going to go on in this chapter. A couple other things that come to mind about the year and the timing. When Jesus Christ shows up, one of the first things he says, when we talked about it in Luke, one of the first things he says is he's given the scriptures in Isaiah, and he preaches that this is the acceptable year now. This is the year of the Lord. This is the beginning. This is the new beginning. And so it reminds me of all this stuff going on here at the Old Covenant, or what will become the Old Covenant. Jesus Christ, newness of life, talk about newness of life, new creature, new covenant, all those things. So anyhow, back here in Exodus, the Lord says, this month is going to be your new year, and your new year is going to start with the Passover. Your new year is going to start with redemption from sin, deliverance from bondage, and this is going to be your new year. How do you do this? How do y'all prepare? How do you prepare Israel for this plague that's about to sweep through the nation of Egypt and kill the firstborn of everything? Well, this is what he says in verse 3. You need a lamb. You need a lamb. Verse 3 says, speaking unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. So the point is, this lamb is going to be killed and eaten. It's going to be barbecued, and I mean, it's going to be eaten. And if it's too much for one family, well, then other people, but it's all according to the food there. Who's going to partake of this lamb? Who's going to eat of this lamb? And so he goes on to describe what the lamb needs to be. And it's a perfect description. All of this is a description of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, no spots. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. I thought that was interesting. From the sheep or from the goats. In Jesus Christ is taken from the nation of Israel. He's an Israelite. And within the nation of Israel, there were sheep and there were goats. There are believers and unbelievers within the nation of Israel. And so even here in this foreshadowing, the instruction is you take the sheep, take the lamb out from the sheep or from the goats. And this is exactly what happens with Jesus Christ being taken out of the nation to provide a ransom, to provide protection from death. So the lamb is going to be unblemished, a male from the sheep or from the goats, taken on the 10th day. And then verse 6, you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood. Now they're not all going to kill one lamb. They're all going to take their lamb and kill their lamb. And they shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head, his legs, with the pertinence thereof, all that pertains to it. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. So, when Jesus Christ is crucified, the 14th day, the Passover, he's crucified. One of the things that's done specifically with in relation to the Passover lamb in Exodus is Jesus Christ is not left on the cross until evening. He's taken off the cross and he's immediately buried. And just like Israel is told, When you put the blood on the doorpost, when you eat of the lamb, you're going to either fully consume it. There's not going to be anything left for the next day. And whatever it would be left is supposed to be burned into the fire. There's not supposed to be anything left of this. And so the whole thing will be consumed in a day, or in a night, really. Verse 10, you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. That which remaineth of it until morning shall burn with fire. So just like Jesus Christ, he's killed on the 14th day and he is immediately taken off the cross and not left up there to be eaten by birds or anything like that. He's taken off the cross and buried, fully consumed that evening. So Christ is taken off the cross that day. And that's 1,500 years from this point in time that you're reading about, give or take 10, 20 years. So they consecrate the lamb, a lamb that's not blemished, has no spots, like Jesus Christ, a male taken from among the sheep and the goats, killed on the 14th day, fully consumed that day. All of these things reference Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. And interestingly enough, I'm not going to say a whole lot about this, but that time frame, the 10th day to the 14th day, John really covers that. That last week of Jesus Christ being scrutinized by the Herodians, by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and he's interrogated over and over, and finally they're done asking him questions, and he's done answering questions, and so he is the Lamb, he is the Passover Lamb. This is how it's consecrated back here in Exodus. And this is what the charge is to the Israelites. And it's perfect because this is the way Christianity is supposed to be. In verse 11, thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So part of the reason these things are being said is because of the nature of the timing of when all this is going to occur. As soon as the death plague is going to sweep through Egypt, Pharaoh is going to really quickly become hasty in what he's doing. And he's going to, in the middle of the night, demand Israel get out of the country. And so the Lord says, when you do this, you need to do this quickly. You need to do this with your feet on your shoes on your feet, fully clothed, fully prepared. Meaning in this night, you're not going to be sleeping. You're going to eat the Passover. You're going to put the blood on the doorpost. And as soon as this plague starts sweeping through Egypt, there will be a cry in Egypt like there's never been. And Pharaoh is going to demand you get out of the country. In the middle of the night, he's going to make you get out of the country. And so this really is the urgency and the nature of Christianity in the New Testament, where you're told to put on the full armor of God, put on the whole armor of God, and this is how you prepare for the work. This is what you're dealing with. The urgency of the situation, the charge to the Israelites. And the blood's going to be a token for God to pass over you in judgment, as we read here. He says in verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." That's a great thought there. And just, I don't want to excuse sin or make light of it, but I will say this, that the thing that God was looking for was the blood of the Lamb. That's what he's looking for. And whoever's in the house, sinner, whoever's in the house, he's not asking questions about who's in the house. He's just looking for the blood of the Lamb. And he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over that house. I'm not trying to make light of sin. I'm just illustrating and taking this point that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that is satisfactory to God. This is the thing that God is satisfied with. So in verse 13, again, "The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." That's... just jumping ahead now, when Paul talks about the Lord's Supper, things like that, this is going to be a memorial, the blood of the Lamb. You're going to remember. You're going to have, you know, the bread, the Last Supper, all that kind of stuff with Jesus Christ. He eats that meal with his disciples. And this thing, it becomes a memorial where, you know, you're not actually eating blood and all that stuff, but the Lord's Supper in type is a memorial of the body of the Lamb of God. And so let's see, we'll keep going. There's a lot of verses. I don't want to read all of these to you, but he says, "Remove the leaven from your house at this time." Verse 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. Whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul should be cut off from Israel. This is what Paul uses this as describing purification in Corinthians. Purge out the old leaven. You know, you're a new lump now, a new creature in Christ. New things. Put away the old things. And so Paul will talk about that in Corinthians. And then he says in verse, you skip down to 26. "And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service?" Now this is important to remember. In the old covenant, once again, in the old covenant, people were born into the old covenant and they had no idea what they were a part of. And so it had to be explained to the children what you're a part of. In the new covenant, you can't even get into the new covenant unless you know what you're becoming a part of. So you don't have a lot of these questions like this, because in the old covenant with Moses, kids would be born into the old covenant and they wouldn't know what they're supposed to be a part of or anything like that. So they would ask questions, and Moses said this, verse 27, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. I want to point something out to you about Moses and his faithfulness in this. I'll take you to this place. Moses is faithful to keep this Passover and explain and administrate over this Passover with Israel. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to show you a verse that's kind of maybe a peculiar thought. Sometimes you have this idea, or some do, that keeping the law is somehow something different than faith, and you know, and then maybe there's a little bit of some difference, but look at this verse, Hebrews 11:28. The Passover is something that was an institute and a holiday and a memorial that Israel is supposed to keep forever, or at least, you know, till Jesus Christ for sure. Hebrews 11:28, through faith, Moses, this is talking about Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So Paul in Hebrews 11 ties the keeping of that part of what would be the law, or what would become the law, he ties that to Moses' faithfulness. So there's by faith Moses kept the Passover, so keeping this commandment, the point is, keeping the commandment was an act of faith. That was an act of faith. And Moses did that. He faithfully kept it. Back over in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. It's like, I don't know what's happening, but every afternoon, every Wednesday night, you got sirens. I don't know what's happening. Exodus chapter 12. The Bible talks about partaking of this sacrifice of Christ. It means girding your mind. Be prepared. Be prepared and prepare yourself for the wilderness and the racing towards the promised land. This is what Exodus is, what Israel had to be prepared for. So, I tell you what, I'm going to pray real quick. There's so much activity out there. I don't know. It's like every afternoon this happens, it feels like. Father, whatever's going on outside, I don't know. Whatever's happening, you know what's happening. And I pray you'd be in the middle of it. If it's somebody's health, somebody on drugs that's violent or whatever the case is, I pray that you would get in the middle of all this and deal with it and give the folks involved, the law enforcement, give them safety, and the family, whoever's there, some protection. And just pray that you would help these folks that sound like there's some desperate need there with all the sirens going by. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So back over here in Exodus, they're told to hurry, partake of this speedily, get ready to move, just like in the Christian life, gird your mind, things like that, get prepared. There's some urgency to this, and that's the charge to the Israelites. I'm going to jump ahead here to chapter 12, verse 29 in Exodus. Now the plague goes through Egypt. Verse 29, it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Wow. So this cry goes out, and verse 31, he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and your children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you've said. Also take your flocks, your herds, as you've said, and be gone and bless me also." Wow. One last thing, man. Just give me a blessing before you go. And the Egyptians were urgent, verse 33, upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, "We be all dead men." Wow. These we got to get these people out of our country. Get them out of our country. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. They borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Wow. Without an army, without fighting, without a gun, without any military power, the Lord mightily delivers Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians, to the point that the Egyptians send them off with gold and silver and stuff. Say, just get out of our country, and here's some precious treasures that if it helps you go faster, take this stuff. Get out of here. And so they're sent out hastily. And it seems like this is why a lot of the things they're doing on that night, they're doing, like eating a meal with bitter herbs, meaning you don't have time to prepare the meal. You're just putting together a bunch of stuff. Eat it quick, because you're about to be on the road, and whatever you put together, put it together. We don't have time for seasoning. We're not going to have time to marinate anything. It's just eat it, and we're going to be thrust out of the country in the middle of the night. And that's what happens. So that cry in Egypt, and Pharaoh and the Egyptians demand the Israelites get out of the country, and they do so with even sending them along with stuff, giving them stuff to take with them. And so that's what happens, and they're all sent out. I'm going to skip ahead here to 37. It says, "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, beside children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened bread, or unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual." So they're a lot of this stuff is just because of the sheer speed with which it's all happening. They don't have time to season anything. They don't have time to prepare the food. It's just eat it in haste, make the bread, cook the bread, eat the bread, and go. And so that's what they're doing. And notice there's a mixed multitude that goes. So apparently some of the Egyptians go with them. They're gonna follow them. Now, some say this is a bad thing, and there's potential for bad stuff, but even within Israel, they're still gonna do stuff that's bad. But here's what the Lord says about this mixed multitude. Skip down to verse 47. maybe 45. A foreigner or a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All right, so you're not going to break a bone of this lamb. So in Psalms it says, when Jesus Christ is crucified, not a bone of his was broken. And that becomes true when Jesus Christ is crucified. The normal process to break the legs doesn't happen with Jesus Christ. He's stuck in the side with a spear, and their blood and water comes out, and then they take him off the cross. And so not a bone of his is broken. Just like the Passover lamb, no bones are broken in the Passover lamb either. But then he says this, all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger, verse 48, when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Now, this is why the Jews relied heavily on this, because this was part of the commandment of Moses. It's like, look, if you have strangers with you, they can participate, but they're going to have to become like you to participate. Verse 49 says it, one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. So the mixed multitude is not necessarily bad as long as they're all abiding by the same rules. Verse 50, thus did all the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Now this is, I mentioned this because it's an incredible picture of what Jesus Christ does and the effective work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a little bit of history, when Abraham is originally given promise, the point is that in Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He's not trying to just create a nation and bless this nation. He's trying to, out of Abraham, bless all the nations. And within Abraham, Abraham possesses the seed who is going to be Jesus Christ. And then Paul would say it this way. I'm just going to read it to you. I'm just going to read it to you here. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 17, this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. All right, the point being in all of this, there's more, Galatians 3. The point being, the law comes after the promise. Abraham is 400 years before any of this gets started. Abraham has already been promised the seed. Then is going to come 400 years later, a law. The law is not connected to the promise. It doesn't bring about the promise. The promise has already been given. The law comes in because of transgression. And the point back with the promise is that all nations of the earth would be blessed. Now you get to the law part of this. 400 years later. And even within the law, Moses is given guidelines to say, look, if there's strangers among you, they're allowed to participate with you if they will go by the same rules you're going by. So it's not just for the nation of Israel gets this and no one else gets this. The point has always been to bless all the nations with Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. And at the Passover time here, it becomes very clear that, look, if other strangers are going to participate, let them participate, but they have to participate lawfully. They have to become part of your group, and they have to do this lawfully. So one law of circumcision for all participants, domestic or foreign, one law. And that's for surely foreshadowing and showing not only the work of Jesus Christ, it's continuing what the Lord told Abraham, And then in Jesus Christ, he will be available to all who will participate with God lawfully. This is what Paul says in Galatians. He's like, look, you're all children of Abraham. You're all by faith. You're connected to Jesus Christ. This is how you're connected to God. You're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the point at the Passover time. If you'll participate lawfully, whether you're a stranger or an Israelite, as long as you participate with God the way he tells you to participate, then you can be a part of what he's doing. So the congregation is allowed to participate in the Passover, and this is the group that goes with them. Now, there'll be problems as we go on, but this is the charge, this is the instructions, this is the commandment that goes with this holiday, the Passover. And so, all that said, the calendar year begins with this redemption. It's the new beginning. With the death of a lamb would start this. The consecration of the lamb has to be without spot. A male taken from the sheep and the goats. Then there's a charge that when you participate in this, when you eat the sacrifice and put the blood on the door, do this in haste, because the nature of your traveling is going to be quick. It's going to be quick. You're going to be sent out quickly. And so there's a charge to the Israelites on how to do this. Then the actual plague sweeps through. The cry in Egypt is like nothing that Egypt has apparently felt before, even all the 9 plagues before this. So in every house, there's someone dead, and Pharaoh just cannot, he can't put up with it anymore. He sends the people out. Even the Egyptians themselves send the people out. And all of this, and the Israelites haven't lifted up a gun. They don't have any bombs. They don't have any grenades. They don't have any tanks. They don't have any military power. But God has fought for them to deliver them out of the captivity and bondage of Egypt. And then as they leave, or will leave, the Lord says, look, there's this mixed multitude going, and I'm not against other people participating in this, but if they're going to participate, they just have to participate the way I tell them to participate. And you're going to have to do this lawfully. And so that's the end of this charge, this commandment here with the Passover. And it all points to Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ. And this book is like no other book, because things like this are said in clear foreshadowing of something that happens 1,500 years after all of this. And it's such a clear shadow and a clear prophecy of what's to come. It's just incredible. And I love it. I love that chapter. Christ our Passover. Jesus Christ our Passover. He is the point of all of this, really. He's the point of all of this. So I hope that's helpful. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for each soul that's here. And again, for whatever's been going on this afternoon with all the sirens and probably ambulance and law enforcement. I pray that you'd help the folks, whatever it is that's happening there. And Lord, for others that need help in various ways, you know who I'm thinking about. I do thank you for some really good encouraging testimonies this morning from folks who have watched the Word of God work in their lives. Thank you for that. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.